hits for Liverpool. Great character. Arne Slot looks at his assistant, Sipke Hulsoff, and gives a big, deep breath, because he knows we missed some big chances right to the end in this game. But ultimately, a Liverpool win with Mohamed Salah getting the winner. We love that, don't we? Liverpool in the first half were denied a wonderful save by Johnston to deny Szoboszlai, but then a corner, and Ibu Konate, powerful header into the net to give Liverpool the lead. First half stoppage time. Then in the second half, Liverpool missed some good chances. Salah missed an open goal. Not an easy one to take. Wolves got level, a mistake by Konate, left it for Alisson, and in step Wolves, and touched in by Aknori. But 2 minutes later, that's the hallmark of the strength of these players. Jota wins a penalty, and up steps Mohamed Salah, ice cool, into the back of the net. It finished here, Wolves 1, Liverpool 2.
That was Steve Hunter's summary of the action from the West Midlands as Liverpool's victory over Wolves put them top of the Premier League. You're listening to The Reaction with myself, Becky Davis. Coming up in this podcast, we'll hear from Arne Slot and Ibu Konate, former Reds Sammy Lee and David James, who join me in the studio for LFC TV's post-match show, as well as our new fan panel who were also on the programme, Mo Stewart, Abigail Rudkin and Neil Cheddar, chair of the official LFC Supporters Club in Mumbai. First, though, to David Thompson at Molyneux, who watched the game with our reporter, Peter McDowell.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We are buoyant after what was, at times, quite nervy. It was scrappy. It was stop-start. But after six games, Liverpool top of the league.
And that's a nice feeling, isn't it? I think we'll be a bit relieved, actually. I thought it was a lacklustre performance, a bit of a disjointed performance. But the main thing is we got over the line, and rightly so. You say we're top of the league, so yeah, you can't really knock it.
He said before the game in his press conference that Liverpool were going to come up against a few tests in the next couple of weeks, and maybe some tests that they haven't faced yet. Was one of those today, do you think, the way Wolves played?
It's never an easy place to come here. The crowd gets behind the team. They had a few injuries as well and a virus, so you know, automatically you think it's going to be a bit easier, but they set up completely different to how we thought. We thought we were going to sit back and just soak up the pressure, but they never. They played the normal game, which is a bit of a Jackal and Hyde game. Mm. You know, I thought they performed really well for the first half an hour and you know, probably deserved to be in front. Obviously, then Szoboszlai goes down the other end, misses that glorious chance, and then the game starts to swing in our favour a little bit. So I think we're lucky to get the 3 points here, and relieved to get the 3 points, but it is one of them, right? You know, you talk about a test. It is a test coming here.
Mm. For us to go in one goal up at the break was a little bit of a surprise. Would that have changed this half-time message, do you think? Anything that he would have tried to shift from the way they played, certainly in the first 25 minutes or so?
Oh, absolutely. I think, it was one of them performances. You'd be relieved to go in at nil-nil. You know, they dominated the first half an hour, possession-wise, in terms of territory. You know, it's interesting. We've dominated the majority of the games we've been involved in, but be interesting to see what the first half hour was. Thought they had a few good performances, missed a couple of chances. But, it was one of them performances where, you know, we nicked that goal at half-time. It was so important because that affects the balance of play coming out.
Conceding the goal the way we did, I mean, defensively, they looked equal to everything Liverpool, really. The two centre-backs were brilliant, but it comes from a mistake, the equaliser.
Oh, absolutely. A little lax of concentration there from Ibba. Thought he was brilliant for the goal, but yeah, a little lax in concentration there. And you start to panic a little bit, but then they go down the other end and Jota gets in the headlock and gets a penalty.
How disappointed will he be not to have nodded that in? Obviously, Salah then scores from the spot kick, but at times he looked a little bit frustrated in that lone striker position today.
Yeah, he did look frustrated, actually. And he's looked a little bit frustrated at times most of the season. You know, I think his movement, he struggles to get in behind, so he starts coming deeper and deeper, and he's getting frustrated. You know, physically he can't match these centre-backs, so it's a position he's still trying to understand and still trying to get to grips with, and you can see in his performances, yeah, but rightly so. Before, you know, they had that opportunity, he was just about to nod it in, and the lad brings him down for a penalty, so yeah, he will be frustrated.
Ibu gets his first Premier League goal of the season. There is a feeling sometimes amongst the players and probably amongst the fan base as well that the centre-backs should score more. They get in great positions, don't they? And it was great to see him get that goal today.
Yeah, I mean, he attacked it lovely and there was no one getting in his way. But, I mean, he gets on the end. There's so many set pieces that he really should be doing a lot better in terms of his conversion rate. But we should be creating that space for them. You know, it's up to the other lads to be creating that space. And we saw it last week with Arsenal when they work on creating the space for Gabriel to come in and just, like, dominate people. You know, when you get, like, 6'4" centre-half gathering momentum with a huge leap, you know, it's quite a scary thought. So we need to work on that a little bit better. I thought our set pieces today did look like we'd planned them and thought them through, practiced them, which is a real positive. So, yeah, I think going forward, it's a really, really decent result, half-decent performance.
When it is disjointed, when it doesn't go the way you planned it, and, you know, speaking to neutrals on the way in today, they just saw a Liverpool landslide. Doesn't work out that way, but when you do battle your way and you scrap your way to 3 points, does it feel like a really good day at the office, that?
Yeah, I think it is a good day at the office today. You know, we were speaking to a few fans on the way in and said, what are your thoughts? You know, what do you think's going to happen? A few Wolves fans thought they were going to get battered about 5 and 6. I think, you know, even though it is the Premier League, you know, they had some injuries, they had a virus running through the camp. The expectation is you are going to go in and dominate them. But there is no easy games at this level. I thought even their two centre-halves who came in as deputies today were exceptional, really.
They have to recover quick. Virgil spoke about it the other week. They'll be already thinking about Bologna. They'll be already thinking about a new competition, how they change things, how they keep themselves fresh in midweek.
Yeah, absolutely. I think even the manager must have been thinking about Bologna on Tuesday, because, you know, we're screaming on the sidelines. A couple of our lads who weren't performing very well, you're thinking, you know, get the subs on, get some fresh legs on, get some energy in there. But obviously he's got one eye on Tuesday night, which is another important game. You know, there is a lot of games for these lads to play, and I can understand the complaints at times, you know, that they don't get enough rest. But they've got to pick themselves up and go again.
Top of the league, Liverpool. We spoke about the big incentive that was there with the result from earlier on today, the slight slip from Man City. They'll be sitting in there now, quite pleased with themselves. OK, things could be better, but, yeah, you know, 3 points is 3 points.
I think they'll be absolutely delighted. You know, we spoke about it before. Liverpool are in transition. The manager's still getting to know the players. The players are still getting to know the manager. But, you know, to after 6 games to be top of the league and have impressive performances and you know, along the way, yeah, it's all in all, it's a really positive result today.
And you're off to the train station now in all your Liverpool colours with the Wolves fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to make some friends. Tomo, great to have your company, and we'll leave you here pitch side as the warm down continues.
Yeah, big thanks to Peter and to David at Molyneux. As mentioned, Sammy Lee and David James are here with me in the studio. Sammy, that was an extremely stressful last 5 or 10 minutes, but we made it through.
Yeah, back in the game. We spoke about it before the game. I'm always concerned that I sound a little bit negative being an ex-coach, you know, but we said it was going to be a tricky game, and it proved to be so, David, didn't it, you know. We didn't play that well today. I think we were a little bit sloppy in possession. We spoke about our possessions being fantastic for us, but I feel that we're a little bit sloppy today, giving them chances. But it turned out to be a magnificent team performance because, you know, you have your centre-half scoring the goal, you have Mo scoring the penalty, Mo defending the back post, as is Jota at left back, and Kanate recovered from making the mistake to make some fantastic challenges to keep us in the game.
It was a strange one, wasn't it? Because it was a game that struggled to get going at times in the first half, and then the second half, you couldn't take your eyes off it at times, and thankfully it went our way.
Yeah, I was saying in commentary, I think there's a couple of points to it. One is that when Wolves weren't playing particularly well, I mean, they were struggling to keep the ball themselves. You kind of need the opposition sometimes to get you going. And I think Liverpool kind of went to a bit of a lull in that second half, leading to the equaliser. Sam Johnson made a fantastic save in the first half from Dominic. I thought it was absolutely outstanding. But other than that, he didn't really have to deal with anything too difficult. And therefore, Liverpool weren't really stamping on their authority on the game. But Gravenberch, I think, got player of the match. I'm not sure, we were saying in commentary, but he was solid. I thought Trent was superb today. Mm. Absolutely superb. And McAllister in midfield. There were times where Liverpool just needed to get the ball back, keep possession, which they did very well. And in the end, I think, you know, 2-1 was the right result, or a win was the right result for Liverpool. But they will play better this end.
But we were saying, weren't we, and it is, to coin a cliche, but sometimes you do have to win it a little bit ugly, and that is a perfect example of that, I think, tonight.
Absolutely, absolutely, Becky. And as I say, for me, sometimes these wins, they go a long way for the simple reason, as I say, it wasn't great, we know that, but I just thought it was a solid team performance for the reasons I said before. You know, our forwards chasing back. I thought Jota also had a magnificent game. You know, he made forward runs. For a midfield player, knowing that you've got a forward like him, fantastic. All you do is just play it into the space beyond the defenders. He chased everything. And against the ball, he was excellent as well. So it's a great win, a massive win.
Yeah, it's a tough place to go always, yeah. And it was obviously tough at times out there tonight. But I guess games like that, when you do grind something out, it's a bit of a test of character and character building in a way.
It is, as I say, I think I mean, there's a couple of things here. I mean, obviously, because of the results today, Liverpool had the chance to go top,
yeah.
Which all of a sudden changes the mentality. I'm not suggesting Liverpool don't expect to be top, but when City drop points, like, OK, we've got a chance. And for Wolves, seeing Everton win, all of a sudden they're at the bottom. So it's kind of like both teams had a different perspective going into the game than they might have done at half 12 this afternoon. But again, the way the Liverpool played, I think midfield was superb. The goal was avoidable. And if you take that avoidable goal out of it, then Wolves didn't really create that many chances. So there was a lot of good there, even if there was a bit scrappy at times. But it was, as I say, the right result, right performance.
Yeah, it's interesting to think, we'll hear from the manager in a bit, but you could see him in that first half. I think he pulled Dominic Szoboszlai a few times to sort of get him to relay, presumably, tactical information, because he wasn't happy with a lot of what he was seeing in that first probably half an hour or so.
And I think you're right, Beck, and I think what happened is the problems that they created, we created ourselves through our little sloppiness, you know, and they corrected that. And I think David's right, you know, the result was right, although it was a tight result at the end, you see me, you know, but again, as you said before the game, no easy games, and to win ugly like we did, and ugly is maybe the wrong phrase, but to win was massive today, and top of the league.
Yeah, and I think, to be fair as well, we said pre-match about Wolves that their performance is not being as bad as their results have maybe suggested, and I think they showed that at times tonight, probably not deserving of being bottom of the Premier League.
Maybe we're watching a different game. I thought Wolves were poor. I thought they, in their own defensive third, went in possession. They were more likely to give the ball away than actually create something. And that was where, again, it's frustrating for Liverpool, because they weren't having to force the press because they were waiting for the mistake to happen. And even the goal was, I think it was Lamina knocked the ball too far and shouldn't really have been able to pick the ball up. And then they end up scoring. So there was a lot not great by Wolves. As I say, as a player, Sam, you would have been in this situation. You kind of want the opposition to do something just to keep you right.
But I think it was highlighted what Becky means is the fact that, you know, they've got some fantastic players going forward, but they have been liabilities at the back. And then that was proven today, you know.
Yeah.
They've had some great forward play, dangerous forward play. But the defensive play, as you say, is always looks as if it's always going to let them down, always going to get them to concede chances. And ultimately, against the top teams, them chances end up being goals against.
And in fairness to them, in their six games, five of them you would expect to be in the top six.
Yeah,
that's
what
we're
saying. They've had such a difficult start to the season. Yeah. He must have been, you know, head in his hands when he saw those opening fixtures. But for Arne Slot, top of the Premier League
Fantastic.
Tonight, it's extremely early days, isn't it? But psychologically, what can
of
that
course,
do for
of course, of course,
Ben.
As we say, you know, you can't win the league after six games, but you can still lose it. Look where Wolves are. The point being is that it's just fantastic to be at the top of the league at any stage of the season. If we can continue that, who knows at the end. But, you know, six games at the top, you can only do what you can do, and you can only play against what you've got to play against, regardless of who they are. Because we've said all along, even the opening fixture, Ipswich away, 12:30, newly promoted side. That was never going to be easy, and we've come through that. This was always going to be a tricky fixture, but they've come through it, and as you say, tonight we're top of the table.
Yeah, six games is early to be talking about potential titles, but to be leading the pack at any stage is never a bad thing.
Well, I've been using this basic maths. 90 points gives you a chance to win the league. If you look at the last sort of five, six seasons, 90 points gives you a chance. Doesn't mean you're guaranteed to win it, which means you can lose eight games. So Liverpool have lost one, but won all the others. And I think the key here is that first half against Ipswich wasn't great, but the second half was superb. I think the second half here was good until the goal. What they did show was that it didn't let them affect them in a negative way and go under.
Yeah.
They pressed on.
And David, you know, Beck, they won't be talking about titles. Liverpool won't be talking about titles.
That's for us.
You know, exactly. That's for the supporters and us, exactly. You know, but all you can say, the fact of the matter is, today, 28th of September, top of the league.
Yeah, we are going to go to our Zoom guests now, because they are ready and waiting eagerly to... There we are, smiling faces, all three of you. Mo, we'll start with yourself. Are you pleased with what you've seen this evening?
I'm pleased with the result. I think I echo what the lads have said in the studio, that it reminds me that a season is a long, 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 long time, and you can't play at your very best every week. So when you aren't playing at your best, if you can still pick up the 3 points, then it's a really good sign. I think it was one of those weird performances that with the ball, I don't think we were very good. It's maybe our worst performance of the season. But without the ball, in terms of pressing the opposition, but also getting back in position and defending once you've made those mistakes, I thought we were fantastic. And I think that was really what the key was to getting the win in the end.
I agree totally. Yeah, fantastic. I agree totally with them, man. I see you're the Green Bay Packers fan, eh? As well.
I had to get that one in there.
We'll move on to Neil, who's ready to give us his thoughts. Neil, what did you make of the game tonight?
Yeah, again, like the result was perfect and what we needed. I mean, the performance was, not the best, but I think it's important to get the results in, and it's still early days, so. It's really important to get those wins, which we needed to grind out. And like the team showed a lot of character and grit to get the performance, the result in. And I mean, there were a couple of mistakes, especially from Ibu, but that's okay. I think that happens. I mean, everyone might have this one moment where, you know, it all goes bad for them. But overall, it was a perfect result for us. And that it puts us on top of the table, like just one defeat. And I think we're good. I mean, it sets the momentum for the next few games, the next few months. So I think it's a good start.
Can I say something back to you, man?
I
agree totally with you, Neil, I think. But the great thing about, Canati is that he recovered to make two fantastic, goal saving tackles, really, if you like. So that's the biggest thing for me, that I haven't made a mistake. He didn't go hiding. He stuttered for about 2 or 3 minutes, but recovered to make some match saving challenges towards the end, which was crucial for us to get the result.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't let it affect him. And I think he was really good after that mistake as well. Of course, the yellow card was a bit of a problem, but then he did perfectly well. He was like perfect even after that. So that shows the mentality and the character that he has to see the game out as well. Yeah.
Okay, that's Neil Cheddar from the official Liverpool Supporters Club over in Mumbai. Thank you, Neil. We're going to go to Abigail Ruckin now. She's a Liverpool fan. She's also a very well-known artist as well. Abigail, momentum there, Neil was saying, and that is massive. And I think you have a lot of it at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. I think getting to be top of the table tonight was so important. Seeing Man City drop points was massive for us. I mean, it's a shame Arsenal managed to claw it back towards the end of their game, but it's a very long season, as we've said. But every game, right from the beginning, felt like the games at the end of the season. It has for years for all of us, because you just know what City are like. You know the momentum that they have, and you just know the run they can go on to win all the games. So, you know, being a Liverpool fan, you just know that you've got to grind out these results and capitalise on them dropping points. And I think we were able to do that. I think we were probably quite slow at the start. I was getting a little bit worried, but I was sort of expecting it. Like City dropping points, I thought maybe we'll come out a little bit nervy here because there's a little bit more pressure on it. So I think I was sort of expecting that. Just a little bit lack of cohesiveness at first, but then you go into the second half and I honestly think conceding that goal sort of kicked us on to go a little bit more attacking and to press a little bit more. I think obviously Ibu makes the mistake, and him and Alisson have obviously just had a bit of miscommunication there. But like you have all said, Konate managed to, I think at first he lost his head a little bit, but then he managed to make a few good clearances, and you know, he did sort it out. But I was a little bit worried at first after that, but he did sort it.
No, definitely. I mean, as David said, title talk is a long way away. But as a fan, looking at the table tonight, it looks nice, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. How many times have we been here coming up against Man City? You know, you want to be above them in the table. We know what it takes to beat them. We've been behind them by a point a few times. And, you know, you want to see us top of that table. You don't want to be the one chasing. So I think it's a big relief tonight, no matter how the performance went. You just needed to grind up that result.
Give us the insight in a dressing room. You know, you said there earlier on about it changes things slightly, you know, because they know City have dropped points. So as players, how much does that, you know, obviously in the dressing room, everyone's going, oh, you know, you've obviously seen that. So what is it? Does it get in your head psychologically? How does it kind of give you more of an impetus going into that game?
I think because of the time of the kickoff, I mean, literally you're seeing results coming in as you're going out for warm-ups and then thinking, OK, the situation has changed. I mean, I know City played earlier today, but even things like Arsenal, you're thinking, OK, they're drawing. And as much as you have to be focused on your game, you cannot avoid someone in the crowd shouting out, oh, Arsenal have just scored two late goals, whatever it is. And for a moment, you might be slightly distracted. The other thing is as well, Wolves, I agree with you in a sense that Wolves probably don't deserve to be in the position because they haven't been as bad at times as they were today. However, you just think that, are you going to be the team that they play well against? And there were times where they were doing good stuff and you're thinking, OK, so all these little things add up. In the end, and it talks about Konate's mix-up with Ali for the goal. He also scored the goal. And I think that because of the timing of the goal, there's a bit, if you talk about individuals, where you go in the change room, it's like, yeah, fantastic. And it's kind of like a slightly different sort of mindset going in the second half. But what I did like was that the substitutions were good.
Impactful.
They needed those substitutions. Yeah. And Arnie made those substitutions to keep the game as it was. And Liverpool didn't look under any kind of stress as a team. Individuals are allowed to make misplaced passes, but as a team, they still look solid. And that's key. And I know you're saying it's only six games in, you can't win the league. But like I said, if you lose eight games, you might as well write yourself out of the title. So, you know, six games in, it's still important.
Well, I think it's as Abigail said, you know, at the end of the day, we can lose it for sure. You know, you've got to make sure at this point in time, we grind out the results and we get through. You know, and again, I just tend to think for me, it was a solid team performance in as much as that there were certain mistakes made, but other people filling in for other people, covering other people's mistakes. And to go back to your point, Beck, I think it's the skill of a coaching staff to make sure that they keep the people grounded, they keep the players grounded, and they make sure, it's fantastic. But again, as the folks have said, it's a long, hard season, but it's lovely to be at the top now.
It certainly is. Arne Slot joins a very select band of managers to win their first three Premier League away games. Pep did it with City, Carlo Ancelotti did it with Chelsea, John Gregory did it with Aston Villa. You might remember that, David. Tim Sherwood also did it with Spurs, so it doesn't always mean a long tenure in the role. But, you know, he can't be much happier with the start that he's had, even if he will try and play it down, I'm sure, later when we hear from him.
Of course, of course. You know, we're all delighted with it, you know, for the top of the league. But again, as I say, he will be very, very pleased. And he'll keep that under wraps, you know, because, again, that's his job. You know, because, again, as the folks have been saying, you know, it's September.
Just a quick break in today's show to let you know that you can get kitted out for the new season at the Liverpool FC store. Shop the new 24-25 season Nike home, away and third kits, as well as new arrivals to the Nike training collection too. You can also shop the latest additions across LFC label fashion for men, women and kids too. Shop them today at official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store and on the official LFC store app. Right, let's get back to the show. Yeah, welcome back. A 2-1 win for Liverpool against Wolves at Molineux tonight. Sammy Lee and David James are in the studio. We've got our fan panel with us on Zoom as well. We're hearing from the guys very shortly. First, though, we're going to hear from one of the goal scorers. Ibu Konate got his first Premier League goal this afternoon. He's with Peter McDowell.
Well, Ibu, congratulations. It was hard fought, it was a scrap, it was a fight today, but 3 points.
Yeah, today was a big fight against Wolves. And the more important today for us is to take the 3 points. We were very happy and now we have to be focused for the next game. But we have to learn about what we missed today. And I think this is the most important today.
It was a bit of a struggle, wasn't it? Certainly the first 25 minutes. What was the message at half-time, even though you go in one goal up?
No, I remember, the first half was very hard for the team because we were late, and this is what the manager said. We need more concentration and more aggressivity when we start the pressing. And I think when we came back from the second half, we did it well the first 15 minutes. But after was, again, a big battle against this team. But we were expect this game today. And I think we have to keep the 3 points, to keep this on our mind and learn about what we missed today.
First Premier League goal of the season for you. Great cross from Jots from that left-hand side, and you get your head on it brilliantly.
Yeah, first goal in Premier League, I hope not the last. And yes, I'm very happy. It was a very nice cross from Jot. And OK, I scored, but the more important is that we won today.
you would love to score more goals. That they're creating lots of those opportunities now for you and Virg, aren't they, from wide areas?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. We work a lot on that, and I hope me and Virg we will score more goals this season.
And in terms of the performance, Ibu, it wasn't as great as you would have liked it to be, but sometimes when it's a fight and you get the 3 points, you're top of the league tonight, it must feel really hard-earned.
Yeah, it was very hard, but to be where we was, we have to fight, we have to work very hard, and today we saw it, and now we have to learn about a lot of things about what we saw today, and I think the game we start to be more harder than... Now we have to work more at the training to be more concentrated during the game. And yeah, we are top in the league, but it's too early to think about anything. But we have to keep going. We will see what will happen.
It was the life of a centre-back as well. You score the goal, there's a slight error for their goal, and you make a wonderful block, I think, on 75 minutes at the other end.
Yeah. I don't understand what Gary Neville gave a man of the match to Ryan with what I did. You have to talk with him.
You get our man of the match.
Yeah, you have to deserve it, but it's okay. It's fine. I'm very happy for Ryan. He's unbelievable, and he's full confidence. And I hope we will keep in this level during the full season.
Well done, big man.
Thank you, mate.
Oh, he's feeling slightly aggrieved not to get man of the match, Ibu Konate. But listen, first Premier League goal, he really enjoyed that. You won't find a more popular goal scorer, I don't think, within that squad than Ibu Konate, Sammy.
We really enjoyed it.
We did.
I really enjoyed it. And listen, what a fantastic interview that was. Mm. I thought it was brilliant. He was on point on everything. You know, he said they weren't great or whatever, but I thought it was a fantastic interview. And once again, very grounded. So very, very pleased for him. Very pleased with his goal. And as he said, hopefully there'll be more to come.
Just a word on the goal. It comes from Diogo Jota's cross, wasn't it? We saw against Milan, obviously, himself and Virg as well, that the threat that those two can pose when they get in those positions, when they can get into the box.
I thought there was a couple of aspects to the goal. I mean, first of all, it started off from a free kick Lamina gave away against Diaz. But the ball game was played in, back out. And then Diogo Jota, the way that he skimmed the Wolves forward, down the right hand side, and then the quality of the cross. I mean, it was all about the quality of the cross. The other thing you're talking about, Konate, I think Virgil was stood 5 yards behind him, but Diaz was coming in if he didn't make it. So there were a lot of bodies still in the box, everyone eager to get on the end of it. And in the end, the way that he's headed the ball down, I think if he had the ball any higher, then Sam Johnson makes a save. Because he headed it down, Sam Johnson was compromised in the way that he went to try and make the save, but. You say, vital goal, vital moment of time.
Well, that's the thing. The first goal in niggly games like that is so crucial, isn't it? And the timing of that as well. 2 minutes into added on time in that first half is perfect.
Well, as you know, the half-time talk is different then. You know, it's different.
Well, Pete asked the question. It's a very interesting question. I don't think he really wanted to answer it, did he? But I think, you know, what does Arne Slot say? Because he's just watched a half which he's probably not been too happy with, but then that happens right at the end of it,
But again, forgive me, he won't get carried away with that.
No.
He'll know what he has to say to him, because they had to correct certain things in the second half. You know, I think he said they were slow to the ball, they were late and things, and sometimes the decision making wasn't great. So there was a certain number of things that Arne had to correct at half time, and the goal was fine, fantastic. Yeah, but he had his job to do as a manager. He said, okay, we've got another 45, 47 minutes now that we need to correct certain issues on the pitch, which they did.
Just a quick word on the equaliser, which was obviously from a Liverpool perspective quite a scruffy goal to concede, and there have been hardly any defensive issues this season at all, really, David, but that obviously was quite costly.
Again, I mean, it's from where it started, because, as I say, Wolves are more likely to give the ball away than Liverpool have to take it off them in Wolves' defensive third, and there was a part where Lamina cut through, knocked the ball long, and I think Trent was actually dropping back, but had he stepped forward, then he would have intercepted the ball and wouldn't have been a problem. Then you have the issue of the ball going through to Konate, who I think assumed, that's all I can say, was assuming that Ali was going to come out.
Yeah.
And because of the amount of time it took for Konate to recognise that Ali wasn't coming out, Ali then was compromised because he started coming out. And to compound things, I think Robbo would run back in, and the Lamina tried to do a trick, and it had come off Robbo's toes to fall to Etnori to score. So there was a number of issues. And I think, and again, in a weird way, when you've got a confident side like Liverpool, they weren't playing badly, just not to the high levels that they'd set. When you give the opposition the goal, it's like, OK, we're still in control of this. rather than the opposition do something fantastic and score and go, hang on a minute, we're up against it now. As much as I was saying you want them to play better, you still had the control because it was an unforced error, which led to the goal. Weirdly.
I think what happens is that with the goal brought the crowd into the game, but thankfully Liverpool replied by getting the penalty straight after that, you know, which is crucial for us, you know, because it, once you let the crowd back in the game, they could be talk about momentum beforehand, but they weren't allowed to enjoy that goal because almost immediately we went down, got the penalty and the second goal, which for me certainly dampened their enthusiasm, which was at a high at that time.
Yeah, let's bring our Zoom guest back in. We'll go to Mo Stewart first of all. I mean, the penalty, I think Anthony Taylor thought was pretty clear-cut. Semenya with his arms all around Diogo Jota, didn't he? And I think straightforward for you, Mo?
Yeah, I think so. It's funny because I see those kind of challenges on the halfway line where Mo Salah's got a defender draped all over him all the time and the refs never give that as a foul. Mm. But for some reason, when it's in the box, he seems so happy to give it as a penalty. So I can't really complain on that score. But I thought Sammy was spot on with his point there in terms of the timing of the goal and how long it took, because Wolves really didn't get a chance to get any momentum behind it. And it also didn't give Liverpool a chance to dwell on the mistakes they'd made to concede that goal. It was like, right, we're back in front now, we can reset, we can go again from here. And again, we've seen Mo Salah. It's funny because over the course of Mo Salah's career as a Liverpool player and a Liverpool penalty taker, I've kind of fluctuated between times where I'm like, he's definitely scoring, and then, oh, I'm not sure about this one. But today I felt confident and he didn't let me down.
Mo, you should be a coach.
Honestly, I thought about it, trust me.
Let's speak to Neil from the Mumbai Supporters Club. There he is. Neil, Mo Salah's always bang on the money from the penalty spot, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, and whenever he gets a chance, you know, we know that he's gonna score and he just oozes that confidence. But I'd also like to add that, you know, Jota especially was, you know, so important for winning us that penalty and also providing the assist for the first goal. Yeah. So I know in moments he switched off in the game and, you know, throughout the game he wasn't, you know, that maybe not that good, but in the key moments, you know, he just does these things and, you know, provides us with such important parts of the game that, you know, he's just right there in important moments.
Ask Neil and all the guests on there. I mean, I think Mo looks like a new player this season. I think his touch has improved. There was moments today where his control was superb. And I just wonder if anyone else has noticed the same thing as I do, because his involvement, even though he hasn't scored necessarily as many goals as he might have done in previous seasons after six games, but his involvement in the games have been that much more important.
Mm. Yeah, we'll put that to Abigail. What do you think, Abigail?
I'd say I've probably been a little bit critical of Mo at times this season. I think you can go back to a couple of games, probably the Forest game that we lost. You can just think maybe some players just seemed a little bit invisible in that game, and maybe that's just me being critical of Mo because of the stats that he puts forward the last couple of seasons. So yous are probably more right than me, but I've been a little bit frustrated at Mo at times this season, to be honest, personally. Just felt like he could have been a little bit more involved at times, getting dispossessed, not managing to win the ball back, just little things like that. I've sort of struggled with Mo. He started off absolutely flying the first couple of games, and then it just felt to me as if he'd sort of had a little bit of a decline. But I thought when that penalty went in, that's the sort of thing that he needed to probably bring him back up a little bit. But I could be wrong, you know.
No,
I just thought
Abigail,
that penalty might
there's no way you're wrong, Abigail, because what happens is in every pub tonight we'll have the same discussion. You know, if people will be saying that Mo's great, people say, well, he's not, and other people say he's not his best. That's the beauty of football. And I'd have to say, the likes of Mo, well, he'll instigate them discussions for the rest of his career, you know, because one thing I'll argue against that is the stats, as you rightly alluded to before. But sometimes you look at him, he's not going past people, and then other times he does go past people and crosses the ball with his right foot. So that's the beauty of football, Abigail. So there's no rights or wrongs. Everybody's right and everybody's wrong, you know. Hey?
Well, all I know is six games in, Liverpool's top of the league and Mo scored the winner. So I feel like I'm right in this argument.
Well, listen here, Mo Salah, 231 Premier League goal involvements for Liverpool. Oof. So that, to put it into context, though, that is the joint sixth most for one club in the Premier League era. He's level with Sergio Aguero, only Rooney, Giggs, Kane, Henry and Lampard.
Beck, that's the point. That's the point.
So, I mean, he's with the absolute great there, isn't he?
And Abigail, she's right as well. You know, so what happens is the stats are there for everything. And for me, exactly what people are saying, we can talk about this now because, once again, we're top of the league in September.
Why do you think he doesn't maybe get the credit he deserves when you look at stats like that, though? Because it's a long argument that's gone on for a good while now.
Yeah.
But when I say this, just to sort of clarify what I'm meaning, traditional Mo, if you ask most Liverpool fans, especially in Mumbai, because I've got a lot of friends in Mumbai who support Liverpool, Mo getting the goals is what people will say Mo is great at. But I would argue, or would have argued, that he has a lot of chances, he loses a lot of possession, or he has lost a lot of possession. This season, and I take Abigail's point, there are times where he might, especially in the Nottingham Forest game, have lost possession. But generally speaking, you pass him the ball, he'll control it, and he'll give it back to his players. He's not expected to be the winner. He's just part of a team which knows how to win games. And I think there's a fundamental difference in roles and responsibilities that Mo has. And it's making him look like a new player and a better version.
Well, I'll put that back to you, Beck, because whatever our discussions are, Abigail, Neil and Mo and JMO, the stats, you can't argue against the stats.
Now, I'm going to bring Mo back in because you look like you might have something to say, Mo. What's your take on this? It's a very hot debate, this, go on.
Yeah, I do agree with David's point in terms of how it seems to have accepted the idea of being a creator as much as a scorer and how it's given him a bit of an impetus. Although I do also think Abigail's kind of right. There was that moment in the second half where we had a bit of a break and he just had to play a bit of a better ball through to Curtis and he'd have been in. And I must admit, I did turn away from the screen a little bit and maybe shout something quite loud. And like, it was lucky I'm in the house on my own, so no one else heard it. But I think the point is that he's taking a different responsibility within the game. I think he's trusting the rest of his forward line to be able to finish off the chances, so he doesn't feel like he's got to do it all himself. I think we've seen at times over the last couple of years where sometimes he feels like he has to do all the scoring himself. So maybe his decision-making in and around goal isn't as good as it could be, whereas now you get the impression that he trusts his teammates, so he's going to be able to look to play them in whenever he gets the opportunity.
Yeah, it's also fine margins. I mean, you look at Milan, you and I were there, and he could have had two or three that night were it not for the woodwork. So it's, you know, it's...
Very, very much so, and as I say, this is why this is a fantastic discussion. You know, and we've been having it for some considerable time. Look what you've started, Abigail. Look what you've started. So I think it's a terrific discussion, but again, stats.
In terms of other players, someone we haven't mentioned I thought was outstanding was Virgil van Dijk, and I almost think...
Him,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you say that.
Oh, no, I mentioned him, but not about how fantastic he was.
Well, yeah, but I feel like it's almost... We take it for granted that he will be fantastic every game, but again, I thought he was tonight.
I think, and again, this is an extension of what we're talking about with Mo. I think I'm seeing a better, newer version of Mo, which isn't the guy that has to score all the goals. It's part of a team. And with Virgil, I was at Old Trafford in that game recently, and he was superb without being the standout man. Every time the ball goes near him, he just deals with it. I know for years people have said he's the best defender in the world, but I was wanting to see the evidence behind that, and what I'm seeing this season, today included, under pressure he just lays a ball off like he's having a knock around with his mates in a park. That kind of confidence and that kind of capability is what I would see as the best defender, rather than maybe doing the block tackles and stuff. He just... No, the team never looked stressed. And even in a moment where they give away the goal, they didn't look stressed. There was a few words between Ali and Konate, but I didn't see this stress. And Virgil is the key man in this.
But that's the thing, it's the influence he has on all the other players as well. He's not only his own ball skills, but his overall influence on the rest of the team is so calming. And, you know, to be honest, that's why when they got him, you knew he was one of the final pieces of the jigsaw, the keeper. And to go back to the keeper, Becky, if you don't mind, I thought the keeper was superb, because when Konate made the second challenge on block, he went straight to him.
Yeah, he was the first person to him.
I didn't think there was any problems with him. I thought it was a fantastic discussion. Can we sort it out? In the space of 2 minutes, they had been sorted, and he was the first one to Konate to say, well done, well done.
Yeah, which obviously shows the team spirit, if you like. Yeah, camaraderie amongst the squad. You did touch on it at the start, but that save by Sam Johnson from Dominic Szoboszlai was outstanding, wasn't it?
I think
Szoboszlai sat there thinking, should he have scored that? He's about 6 yards out at that point, or is that an outstanding save?
You have to look at the bill. I think as Robbo's got down the line, he's whipped in a fantastic cross. Johnson's on his near post. He's not too far in front of the near post, but he's on his near post area. And Dominic making a charge into the box, all he has to do is make contact. All he has to do, and the one thing I loved about it, watching the replay in particular, was it wasn't just a goalie who ran across to the middle of the area and it hit him. He's extended his leg out to make the contact. He was slightly fortuitous in the sense that it hit the inside or the underside of his leg and has gone behind him for the corner. But if his movement hadn't been right, if his attempt to make the block hadn't been right, then Dominic scores. And Dominic would be frustrated because it's like the goal's open.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden there's a big long
leg.
We
obviously heard from him, you weren't on pre-match, but myself and Sammy were speaking about him, and he did an interview saying that, you know, he really needs to get forward more, and the boss has clearly challenged him to do that.
Exactly. So. And what a great run, Becky, that he made again. And actually, where it started from was Virgil's ball, which sliced the defender on for Robbo to make that cross. So a couple of things came into play. But again, we spoke about it. He will be frustrated, but at least he got in the position to score the goal. And it was only a magnificent save that stopped him from doing so. He'll have all the encouragement in the games ahead to keep on getting them positions, because, you know, that's the only thing we said beforehand, which maybe he's got a number of things to improve, but certainly that is one. And he said it himself, is to get more goals for the team.
We can get the thoughts of the boss now. Here's what Arne Slot had to say to the media in his post-match press conference.
You were made to work hard today. Did you feel like that was the right result in the end?
Well, it's maybe for others to judge, but I think the first 15 minutes were difficult for us. The other team, Wolves, had a week to prepare, and if you have a very good manager like Gary O'Neill, who's tactically really strong, he comes up with a real good game plan, and that's what he did. We were ready for this. You always have to wait what he then exactly does. But he overloaded our right side in a good manner, which made it difficult for us to control the game in the first 15 to 20 minutes. Then when it lied down a bit, the energy went away maybe a bit, then I think we took more and more control over the game. And for me, it wasn't a surprise the moment we scored a goal, but I think because I thought that in those moments we were getting better and better. We got a big chance with Dominic Szoboszlai. And I was almost surprised that we conceded the second half, because I felt that in the second half we had much more control than in the first half. But yeah, we conceded a goal that was avoidable, let's put it that way.
Top of the league after six games, I mean, it's a great start for you. I mean, did you expect to be top so early on?
Yeah, but it's almost ideal that we play Wolves today, because we are top, they are last, and they absolutely don't deserve to be last, because they had a very difficult fixture list, and I've seen many games of them, and they did, in almost every game they deserve more. And you could even argue today, because it wasn't like we were so much better than them, they were in the game doing a lot of good things. So they will, if they keep doing this against other teams as well, they will never end up number 20. And we still have to prove, if we come across against Arsenal, Newcastle, Chelsea, and which other fixture they had, Aston Villa, if we can then still be up there with Champions League games included as well.
Mike? Does it give a psychological lift to yourself, players around the club, when you are top rather than chasing?
I think everybody is realistic enough. All the players have so much experience that they understand that in six games into the season doesn't give you a realistic view on the league table. That is more like in 19 games, then you can really feel, okay, where are we? But of course it helps if you get some good results, especially if you bring in a new manager and a new staff, and being a successor of such a successful one. And then, of course, everybody understands that if we would have lost four or five out of these first six fixtures, that life would have been a bit different than it is now.
Is Andy Roberts late on, is that a big problem that he came up with?
I don't expect this to be a big problem, although you never know, but I think he just got a knock. And end phase of the game, maybe he was a bit tired as well, because the guy who came in, Forbes, I knew him of course from the Dutch competition. He made it a real fight for him as well. So got a bit of a knock, but I'm expecting him to be in training Monday again. But let's wait.
Being top of the league now, if it stays that way, how will you keep your players level-headed?
If it stays this way, I don't have to keep them level-headed. But to keep it that way, that's probably what you mean. I don't think it's necessary for me to convince the players what all the challenges we still face. So I've said it a few times now in different press moments today. 2 years ago was the last time we played Champions League, and we all know what kind of a season that was. And last season we had much better season. But then every time Virgil and all these other players got some rest during the week and could play once a week. So that's a completely different situation than play Champions League during the week against a very tough and hard opponent and then play Arsenal and then play Aston Villa and then play all these top teams that we are going to face and after the next international break. So for us, there's still, I've said it many times, a lot to prove, especially if you look back at the season 2 years ago. And it's still almost completely the same group.
Just a quick break in today's show to remind you that there are two series of We Are Liverpool available to listen to wherever you get your podcasts. It's where you'll hear from current and former players about their lives off the pitch and career on it. We've got Andy Robertson's car-sharing stories with his brother, Lucas Leiva's humbling phone call to Jurgen Klopp after he left the club, how Curtis Jones celebrated that goal against Everton in the FA Cup, why Dirk Kuyt played a key role in Luis Suarez signing from Ajax, and lots more fascinating insights and stories ready for you to hear. Every episode of We Are Liverpool is available now, and make sure to give us a follow so you don't miss any future shows. Right, let's get back to today's show. Welcome back. Liverpool are top of the Premier League tonight thanks to a 2-1 win over Wolves at Molineux. We are turning our attention now, it's the end of the show almost, to the Champions League midweek. It's Bologna at Anfield. First Champions League game of the season at Anfield as well. You're looking forward to it, Sammy?
Very much so. It'll be a fantastic European night. You know what European nights are? Unbelievable. The atmosphere. Yeah, it's wonderful. You know, everything about it, the Champions League flag on the, you know, on the pitch, it's just going to be wonderful. These Italian teams, remember Atalanta coming to us last year, you know, they provide a stiff opposition for us. You know, they're no mugs, far from it. That's why they're in the Champions League. You know, but again, it'll be a wonderful night, and everybody loves European nights at Anfield.
They do, and everyone loves a European night when you win in Milan as well. You and I were there. Let's just remind ourselves what happened a couple of weeks ago now. David, you kind of feared a little bit early on, obviously with the early goal for Milan, but it felt in the end like a very controlled performance from Liverpool and a bit of a statement victory in the San Siro.
Yeah, there's Mo. Yeah.
There's Canati again.
Yeah, getting used to that, isn't he? I think the early goal, as you say, there's a part where normally most teams, especially in the cauldron of the San Siro, you would think there's would be detrimental to the outcome of the game for Liverpool, but it's just this confidence the team have at the moment. It's just they're not phased. They've got a job to do, and I say a job, that sounds probably a little bit too basic, but they know how to win games, as they've proven many, many times already this season. And going a goal down, I mean, that goal again, it's just, there's so much about it which looks like, OK, we'll do this anyway. And I think this is where the defeat against Nottingham Forest became even stranger in a way, because Liverpool have found that the way that they've been playing is more than good enough to win games of football.
Well, listen, it is Bologna this week at Anfield. Let's bring in our Zoom guest. We'll speak to Mo Stewart first. Mo, at Bologna, 13th. They play Atalanta tonight. They've won just one from five opening games. They've never played in the Champions League before. Dare I say it, this should not pose too many problems. Am I allowed to say that?
You can say it, Becky. I'm certainly not going to say it.
Certainly not on camera.
It's funny, you mentioned the game against Atalanta. It's actually happening as we speak. I'm kind of keeping one eye on it. I'm trying my hardest. And it looks like they've picked their strongest lineup. So it'll be interesting to see whether they do make any changes for the Liverpool game or whether tiredness comes into it at some point. But you mentioned this is their first time in the Champions League. I'm always excited when there's a new team that comes to Anfield. A new set of fans get to come to the city centre and have a little bit of a party. And they get to enjoy and listen to You'll Never Walk Alone and do all the things that away fans like to do. Unfortunately, one of the other things that away fans do tend to do on their first visit is get beat. So I'm hoping that tradition continues as well.
Yeah, I believe it's 0-0 against Atalanta. Almost half-time there, so you've not missed it too much while you've been speaking to us, Moa. Neil from the Liverpool Supporters Club in Mumbai. Let's speak to you about who you're expecting on a slot to go for in this one, because it seems tailor-made for Federico Chiesa, who scored 7 goals in 11 games against Bologna so far.
Wow. Yeah, I feel that there might be some changes in the front three, especially probably Gakpo and Chiesa coming in. He has the experience of playing against Italian clubs, and Bologna would be one of them. So it would be a perfect match for him to come in and, you know, play for us. And I think maybe a couple of changes in the midfield, but I think the back four would probably remain the same. With the new format, I really want us to get the points in early and like in the early stages, because we really want to be like in the top 4, 5, 6 positions on the table. And yeah, I think it's really important to get the wins early before we, you know, go to the likes of Real Madrid and the other teams that are there.
Yeah, final word to Abigail Rukin, Liverpool fan, Liverpool artist as well. Listen, I mean, Neil was just saying there, obviously there are some really big games to come early on in the competition in this new format. What are your hopes for the Champions League this season?
I mean, I always go into every competition that we can win it. Of course I do. I mean, it's Arne's first season, so I try not to put too much pressure on it. That was something that I was criticised about start of the season, was I was keeping my expectations a little bit low. But as it's gone on and we've played so well, I've sort of told myself we could probably win this. And I think the thing with the opposition being Bologna, I think it's probably an opportunity for a few changes. I can't see us starting the same four at the back, to be honest. I think you'll probably see Simakas come in, you might see Quanta get an opportunity, you could see Gomez, I could even imagine Kelleher in goal, because Bologna's just haven't performed too well this season. I think they've had 4 draws. None of it's been too high scoring. I think Napoli beat them 3-0, I think it was. So I think I can sort of see a few changes in us, and it being an Anfield as well, I can sort of see us winning quite safely. Probably a few changes for me, especially up front. I mean, we've got an amazing array of players that can play up front. Gakpo and Diaz is just what an amazing problem to have, having those two, you know, to choose from. So I can probably see us going for a similar side to what we played against West Ham and still managing to have a comfortable win, so we'll see.
Becky, your guests have had some great research, haven't they?
Absolutely.
You've done the homework. Well done, folks.
Sadly,
well done.
We've come to the end of the show because I've got to wind you guys up. But listen, it has been a pleasure. Thank you, all three of you on Zoom, and thank you to you two as well.
Pleasure.
In the studio.
Nice to meet you, folks.
That is it from today's episode of The Reaction. We will be back, though, after Wednesday night's Champions League meeting with Bologna, with exclusive interviews and analysis from Anfield. Until then, though, if you haven't already, please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop.